next witness will be Mr. Frank Zappa. Mr. Zappa, thank you very much for being with us. Please proceed.
Okay, my name is Frank Zappa. This is my attorney, Larry Stein, from Los Angeles. Can you hear me?
If you could speak very directly and clearly into the microphone, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, my name is Frank Zappa. This is my attorney, Larry Stein. The statement that I prepared that I sent you 100 copies of is 5 pages long, so I have shortened it down, and I'm going to read a condensed version of it. Certain things have happened. I've been listening to the event in the other room, and I've heard some conflicting reports as to whether or not people in this committee want legislation. I understand that Mr. Hollings does, from his comments. Is that correct?
I think you better concentrate on your testimony rather than asking questions of
the committee.
The
reason I need
Mr.
to ask it, because if it, I have to change something in my testimony if there is not a clear-cut version of whether or not legislation is what is being discussed here.
So, Do the best you can, because I don't think anybody here can characterize Senator Hollings' position.
Okay. Well, I'll carry on with the issue then. First thing
I might help Jim out just a little bit, if I might, but I can't get this one.
Yes.
This is one senator that might be interested in legislation and or regulation to some extent, recognizing the problems with free right of expression and my previously expressed views that I don't believe I should be telling other people what they have to listen to. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that the suggestions made by the original panel was some kind of an arrangement for voluntarily policing this in the music industry is the correct way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if it'll help you out in your testimony, I might join Senator Hollings and or others in some kind of legislation and or regulation unless the free enterprise system, both the producers and you as the performers, see fit to clean up your act.
Okay, thank you. So that's hardly voluntary. First thing I would like to do, because I know there is some foreign press involved here and they might not understand what the issue is about, one of the things the issue is about is the First Amendment to the Constitution, and it's short and I'd like to read it so they will understand. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's for reference. These are my personal observations and opinions. I speak on behalf of no group or professional organization. The PMRC proposal is an ill-conceived piece of nonsense which fails to deliver any real benefits to children, infringes the civil liberties of people who are not children, and promises to keep the courts busy for years dealing with the interpretational and enforcemental problems inherent in the proposal's design. It is my understanding that, in law, First Amendment issues are decided with a preference for the least restrictive alternative. In this context, the PMRC demands are the equivalent of treating dandruff by decapitation. No one has forced Mrs. Baker or Mrs. Gore to bring Prince or Sheena Easton into their homes. Thanks to the Constitution, they are free to buy other forms of music for their children. Apparently, they insist on purchasing the works of contemporary recording artists in order to support a personal illusion of aerobic sophistication. Ladies, please be advised, the $8.98 purchase price does not entitle you to a kiss on the foot from the composer or performer in exchange for a spin on the family Victrola. Taken as a whole, the complete list of PMRC demands reads like an instruction manual for some sinister kind of toilet training program to housebreak all composers and performers because of the lyrics of a few. Ladies, how dare you? The ladies' shame must be shared by the bosses of the major labels who, through the RIAA, chose to bargain away the rights of composers, performers, and retailers in order to pass HR 2911, the blank tape tax. A private tax levied by an industry on consumers for the benefit of a select group within that industry. Is this a consumer issue? You bet it is. The major record labels need to have HR 2911 whiz through a few committees before anybody smells a rat. One of them is chaired by Senator Thurman. Is it a coincidence that Mrs. Thurman is affiliated with the PMRC? I can't say she's a member because the PMRC has no members. Their secretary told me on the phone last Friday that the PMRC has no members, only founders. I asked how many other DC wives are non-members of an organization that raises money by mail, has a tax-exempt status, and seems intent on running the Constitution of the United States through the family paper shredder. I asked her if it was a cult. Finally, she said she couldn't give me an answer and that she had to call their lawyer. While the wife of the Secretary of Treasury recites, "Gonna drive my love inside you," and Senator Gore's wife talks about bondage and oral sex at gunpoint on the CBS Evening News, people in high places work on a tax bill that is so ridiculous, the only way to sneak it through is to keep the public's mind on something else. Porn rock. Is the basic issue morality? Is it mental health? Is it an issue at all? The PMRC has created a lot of confusion with improper comparisons between song lyrics, videos, record packaging, radio broadcasting, and live performances. These are all different mediums, and the people who work in them have a right to conduct their business without trade restraining legislation whipped up like an instant pudding by the wives of Big Brother. Is it proper that the husband of a PMRC non-member founder person sits on any committee considering business pertaining to the blank tape tax or his wife's lobbying organization? Can any committee thus constituted find facts in a fair and unbiased manner? This committee has three that we know about, Senator Danforth, Senator Packwood, and Senator Gore. For some reason, they seem to feel there is no conflict of interest involved. Children in the vulnerable age bracket have a natural love for music. If, as a parent, you believe they should be exposed to something more uplifting than sugar walls, support music appreciation programs in schools. Why haven't you considered your child's need for consumer information? Music appreciation costs very little compared to sports expenditures. Your children have a right to know that something besides pop music exists. It is unfortunate that the PMRC would rather dispense governmentally sanitized heavy metal music than something more uplifting. Is this an indication of PMRC's personal taste, or just another manifestation of the low priority this administration has placed on education for the arts in America? The answer, of course, is neither. You can't distract people from thinking about an unfair tax by talking about music appreciation. For that, you need sex, and lots of it. The establishment of a rating system, voluntary or otherwise, opens the door to an endless parade of moral quality control programs based on things certain Christians don't like. What if the next bunch of Washington wives demands a large yellow J on all material written or performed by Jews in order to save helpless children from exposure to concealed Zionist doctrine? Record ratings are frequently compared to film ratings. Apart from the quantitative difference, there is another that is more important. People who act in films are hired to pretend. No matter how the film is rated, it won't hurt them personally. Since many musicians write and perform their own material and stand by it as their art, whether you like it or not, an imposed rating will stigmatize them as individuals. How long before composers and performers are told to wear a festive little PMRC armband with their scarlet letter on it? Bad facts make bad law, and people who write bad laws are, in my opinion, more dangerous than songwriters who celebrate sexuality. Freedom of speech, freedom of religious thought, and the right to due process for composers, performers, and retailers are imperiled if the PMRC and the major labels consummate this nasty bargain. Are we expected to give up Article 1 so the big guys can collect an extra dollar on every blank tape and 10 to 25% on tape recorders? What's going on here? Do we get to vote on this tax? I think that this whole matter has gotten completely blown out of proportion. And I agree with Senator Exxon that there is a very dubious reason for having this event. And I also agree with Senator Exxon that you shouldn't be wasting time on stuff like this, because from the beginning I have sensed that it is somebody's hobby project. Now, I've done a number of interviews on television. People keep saying, can't you take a few steps in their direction? Can't you sympathize? Can't you empathize? I do more than that at this point. I've got an idea for a way to stop all this stuff and a way to give parents what they really want, which is information, accurate information as to what is inside the album, without providing a stigma for the musicians who have played on the album, or the people who sing it, or the people who wrote it. And I think that if you listen carefully to this idea, that it might just get by all the constitutional problems and everything else as far as I'm concerned. I have no objection to having all of the lyrics placed on the album routinely, all the time. But there is a little problem. Record companies do not own the right automatically to take these lyrics because they're owned by publishing companies. So just as all the rest of the PMRC proposals would cost money, this would cost money too, because the record companies would need, they shouldn't be forced to bear the cost of the extra expenditure to the publisher to print those lyrics. If you consider that the public needs to be warned about the contents of the records, what better way than to let them see exactly what the songs say? That way you don't have to put any kind of subjective rating on the record. You don't have to call it R, X, D, A, anything. You can read it for yourself. But in order for it to work properly, the lyrics should be on a uniform kind of a sheet. Maybe even the government could print those sheets. Maybe it should even be paid for by the government if the government is interested in making sure that people have consumer information in this regard. And you also have to realize that if a person buys the record and takes it out of the store, once it's out of the store, you can't return it if you read the lyrics at home and decide that Little Johnny is not supposed to have it. I think that that should at least be considered. And the idea of imposing these ratings on live concerts, on the albums, asking record companies to reevaluate or drop or violate contracts that they already have with artists should be thrown out. That's it all. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zappa. You understand that the previous witnesses were not asking for legislation, and I don't know, I can't speak for Senator Hollings, but I think that the prevailing view here is that nobody's asking for legislation. The question is just focusing on what a lot of people perceive to be a problem, and you've indicated that you at least understand that there is another point of view.
Yeah, I do
understand. And that there are people who think that, you know, parents should have some knowledge of what goes into their home.
All along, my objection has been with the tactics used by these people in order to achieve the goal. I just think that the tactics have been really bad. And the whole premise of their proposal, they were badly advised in terms of record business law. They were badly advised in terms of practicality, or they would have known that certain things don't work mechanically with what they suggested.
Senator Gore.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I found your statement very interesting. And let me say, although I disagree with some of the statements that you make and have made on other occasions, I have been a fan of your music, believe it or not, and I respect you as a true original and a tremendously talented musician. Your suggestion on printing the lyrics on the album is a very interesting one, because the PMRC at one point said they would propose either a rating or warning, or printing all the lyrics on the album, and the record companies came back and said that they didn't want to do that. But I think an awful lot of people agree with your suggestion that one easy way to solve this problem for parents would be to put the actual words there. Yeah. So that parents could see them. In fact, the National Association of Broadcasters made exactly the same request of the record company. So I think your suggestion is an intriguing one and might really be a solution for the problem.
But the problem, well, you just have to understand that it does cost money, because you can't expect publishers to automatically give up that right, which is a money-earning yep. right for them. Somebody's going to have to reimburse the publishers. The record industry is going to, without trying to mess up the album jacket art and impose that lyrics only be printed on the back. It should be a sheet of paper that is slipped inside the shrink wrap that when you take it out, you can still have a complete album package. So there's going to be some extra cost for printing it. But as long as people realize that for this kind of consumer safety, you're going to spend some money, and as long as you can find a way to pay for it, I think that would be the best way to let people know.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with that at all. And the separate sheet would also solve the problem with the cassettes as well, because you don't have the space for words on the cassette packs. And
I would have to be a little accordion fold then.
Yeah, it was something like that, and or just fold it. But a very large percentage of the albums now sold are sold in cassette form. I've listened to you a number of times on this issue, and I guess the question that I really want to get from you is, or the statement that I want to get from you is on whether or not you feel that the concern is legitimate, because occasionally you feel very strongly about your position. I understand that. Very articulate and forceful, but occasionally you give the impression that you think parents are just silly to be concerned at all.
That's not an accurate impression of.
Okay, well, please clarify it then.
First of all, I think it is the parents' concern; it is not the government's concern.
Yeah, they agree with you on that.
Well, that doesn't come across in the way they have been speaking. The whole drift that I've gotten, based on the media blitz that has attended the PMRC and its rise to infamy, is that they have a special plan, and it has smelled like legislation up until now. There are too many things that look like hidden agendas involved with this, and I'm a parent. I've got four children. Two of them are here. I want them to grow up in a country where they can think what they want to think, be what they want to be, and not what somebody's wife or somebody in government makes them be. I don't want to have that, and I don't think you do either.
Okay, but now you're back on the you're back on the other issue, and let me just say briefly on that they say repeatedly, no legislation, no regulation, no government action. Certainly sounded pretty clear to me, and
okay.
as far as a hidden agenda, you know, I don't see one, hear one, or know of one.
Okay, let me tell you why I've drawn these conclusions. First of all, they may say we are not interested in legislation, but there are others who do, and because of their project, bad things have happened in this country in the industry. I believe there is actually some liability. Look at this. You have a situation where even if you go for the lyric printed thing in the record, because of the tendency among Americans to be copycats, one guy commits a murder, you get a copycat murder, now you got copycat censors. You've got a very bad situation in San Antonio, Texas right now, where they're trying to pass PMRC type individual ratings and attach them to live concerts, with the mayor down there trying to make a national reputation by putting San Antonio on the map as the first city in the United States to have these regulations, against the suggestion of the city attorney, who says, I don't think this is constitutional, but, you know, there's this fervor to get in and do even more. And the other thing, that if the PMRC starts off talking about lyrics, but when they take it over into other realms, when they start talking about the videos, in fact, you misspoke yourself at the beginning in your introduction when you were talking about the music does this, the music does that. There is a distinct difference between those notes and the chords and the bass line and the rhythm that supports the words and the lyrics. I don't know whether you really are talking about controlling the type of music that kids hear. So just specifically, we're talking about lyrics. It began with lyrics, but even looking at the PMRC fundraising letter in the last paragraph at the bottom of the page, it starts looking like it's branching into other areas when it says, we realize that this material has pervaded other aspects of society, and it's like, what, you're going to fix it all for me?
No, I think they're acknowledging some of the statements by some of their critics who say, well, why single out the music industry? But if I could have just half a minute to more, Mr. Chairman, before we got back into that stuff, you were saying, yes, you do believe that there is a legitimate concern.
Yeah, but the legitimate concern is a matter of taste on the for the individual parent and how much sexual information that parent wants to give their child at what age, at what time, in what quantity, okay? And I think that because there is a tendency in the United States to hide sex, which I think is an unhealthy thing to do, and many parents do not give their children good sexual education in spite of the fact that little books for kids are available, and other parents demand that sexual education be taken out of school, it makes the child vulnerable, because if you don't have something rational to compare it to, when you see or hear about something that is aberrated, you do not perceive it as an aberration. Okay?
Okay, I've run out of time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rockefeller. Senator Gordon.
Ms. Zappa, I am astounded at the courtesy and soft-voiced nature of the comments of my friend, the senator from Tennessee. I can only say that I found your statement to be boorish, incredibly and insensitively insulting to the people who were here previously, that you could manage to give the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States, a bad name if I felt that you had the slightest understanding of it, which I do not. You don't have the slightest understanding of the difference between government action and private action. And you have certainly destroyed any case you might otherwise have had with this senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is this private action?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Let me say that I was surprised Senator Gore knew and liked your music. I must confess that I never heard any of your music to my knowledge.
I would be more than happy to recite my lyrics to you.
Can we forego that?
You probably never heard of the Mothers of Invention.
I have heard of Glenn Miller and Mitch Miller. Did you ever perform with them?
As a matter of fact, I took music lessons in grade school from Mitch Miller's brother.
That's the first sign of hope we've had in this game. Let's try and get down to a fundamental question here that I'd like to ask you, Mr. Zappa. Do you believe that parents have the right and the obligation to mold the psychological development of their children?
Yeah, I think they have that right, and I also think they have that obligation.
Do you see any extreme difficulty in carrying out those obligations for a parent by material falling into the hands of their children over which they have little or no control?
Well, one of the things that has been brought up before is talking about very young children getting access to the material that they've been showing here today. And what I've said to that in the past is, a teenager may go into a record store unescorted with $8.98 in his pocket, but very young children do not. If they go into a record store, the $8.98 is in mom's pocket or dad's pocket, and they can always say, "Johnny, buy a book." They can say, "Johnny, buy instrumental music. There's some nice classical music here for you. Why don't you listen to that?" The parent can ask or guide the child in another direction, away from Sheena East and Prince or whoever else you've been complaining about. There's always that possibility.
As I understand it from your testimony, and once again I want to emphasize that I see nothing wrong whatsoever. In fact, I emphasize once again telling somebody else what they should see. So I'm primarily worried about children. It seems to me from your statement that you have no obligation or no objection whatsoever to printing lyrics, if that would be legally possible, or to do on records or tapes. Isn't that what you said?
I think it would be advisable for two reasons. One, it gives people one of the things that they've been asking for. It gives them that type of consumer protection, because if you can read the English language and you can see the lyrics on the back, you have no excuse for complaint if you take the record out of the store. And also, I think that the record industry has been damaged, has been given a very bad rap by this whole situation, because it's been indicated, or people have attempted to indicate, that there is so much of this kind of material that people object to in the industry that that's what the industry is. It is not that at all. Some of the albums that have been selected for abuse here are obscure. Some of them are are already several years old, and I think that a lot of deep digging was done in order to come up with the song about the anal vapors or whatever it was that they were talking about before.
So if I understand you, you would be in support of printing the lyrics, but you are adamantly opposed to any kind of a rating system. Is that correct?
I'm opposed to the rating system because, as I said, if you put a rating on the record, it goes directly to the character of the person who made the record. Whereas if you rate a film, a guy who is in the film has been hired as an actor, he's pretending, you rate the film, whatever it is, it doesn't hurt him. But whether you like what's on the record or not, the guy who made it, that's his art. And to stigmatize him is not fair.
Well, likewise, if you're primarily concerned about the artists, is it not true that for many, many years we have had ratings of movies with indications as to the sexual content of movies, and that has been, as near as I can tell, a voluntary action on the part of the actors in the movies and the producers of the movie and the distributors? That seems to have worked reasonably well. What is wrong with that?
Well, first of all, it replaced something that was far more restrictive, which was the Hays office. And as far as that being voluntary, there are people who wish they did not have to rate their film. They still object to rating their films, but the reason the ratings go on is because if they're not rated, they won't get distributed or showed in theaters. So there is a little bit of pressure involved there. And but still, there is no stigma on the person.
The government does not require that. The point I'm trying to make is, yeah. And while I think these hearings should not have been held if we're not considering legislation or regulations at this time, I emphasized earlier that they might follow. I simply want to say to you that I suspect that unless the industry, quote, cleans up their act, and I use that end quote word again, there's likely to be legislation, and it seems to me that it would not be too far removed from reality or too offensive to anyone if you could follow the general guidelines, right, wrong, or indifferent, that are now in place with regard to the movie industry.
Well, I would object to that. I think that, first of all, I believe it was you who asked the question of Mrs. Gore, whether there was any other indication on the album as to the contents. And I would say that a buzzsaw blade between a guy's legs on the album cover is a good indication that it's not for little Johnny.
I don't believe I answered that question, but the point that you've made is a good one, because if that should not go to little mind, I think there should be at least some minimal activity or attempt on the part of the producers and the distributors, and indeed possibly the performers, to see that that does not get to that little mind. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Mr. Collins.
Mr. Zappa, I apologize for coming back in late, but
I'm just hearing the latter part of it. I hear that you say that perhaps we could print the words, and I think that's a good suggestion. But it is unfair to have it rated. Now, it's not considered unfair in the movie industry, and I want you to elaborate. I don't want to belabor you, but why is it unfair? I mean, it's accurate, isn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it is accurate, because they sometimes have trouble deciding how a film gets to be an X or an R or whatever, and you have two problems. One is the quantity of material, 325 films per year versus 25,000 four-minute songs per year, okay? You also have the problem that an album is a compilation of different types of cuts. If one song on the album is sexually explicit and all the rest of it sounds like Pat Boone, what do you get on the album? How are you going to rate it? You know, there are little technical difficulties here. And also you have the problem of having somebody in the position of deciding what's good, what's bad, what's talking about the devil, what's too violent, and, you know, and the rest of that stuff. But the point that I made before is that when you rate the album, you're rating the individual, because he takes personal responsibility for the music, and in the movies, the actors who are performing in the movie, it doesn't hurt them.
Well, very good. I think the actual printing of the content itself is perhaps even better than rating. Let everyone else decide for themselves.
I think you should leave it up to the parent, because not all parents want to keep their children totally ignorant.
Well, you and I would differ on what's ignorance and educated. I can see that, but
No, I happen to think that you're very educated.
I can't complain. It was there, and you see what they're buying. And I think that would be a step in the right direction. But as Senator Exum has pointed out, whereby the primary movers here in this particular regard are not looking for legislation or regulations, that's our function. And to be perfectly candid with you, I would look for regulations, some kind of legislation, if it could be constitutionally accomplished, unless, of course, we have these initiatives from the industry itself. And I think your suggestion is a good one, that they print those words. That would go a long way to satisfying everyone's objections, I think.
All we have to do is find out how it's going to be paid for.
Good enough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hawkins.
Yes. You say you have four children?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Four children.
Have you ever purchased toys for those children?
No, my wife does.
Well, I might tell you that if you were to go in a toy store, which is very educational for fathers, by the way, it's not a maternal responsibility to buy toys for children, that you may look on the box, and the box says this is suitable for 5 to 7 years of age, or 8 to 15, or 15 and above, to give you some guidance for a toy for a child. Do you object to that?
In a way, I do, because that means that somebody in an office someplace is making a decision about how smart my child is.
I'd be interested to see what toys your kids ever had.
Why would you be interested?
Just as a point of interest in this.
Well, come on over to the house. I'll show them to you. Really?
I might do that. Have you ever made? Do you make a profit from sales of rock records?
Yes.
So you do make a profit from sales of rock records.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I think that statement tells the story to this committee. Thank you.
Mr. Zappa, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next witness is John Denver.
We haven't gotten much on this one. Hey, you've got a bell by the tail there, huh? See? We've had SDI Harris and mopped up the ECW bill. It's 11:30 and you just get to another witness.
I don't know if it's a plus or a minus, too.
No, you can't. Let it out.